The reading is from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Luke 5, beginning at verse 17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Having listened to God's word, let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, please, would you show us wonderful things in your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. If you could request one thing from God and you knew for certain that that request would be granted, what would you ask for? With the prospect of many weeks of lockdown ahead of us, and the suspension of normal life caused by COVID-19, many of us would ask for this awful virus to be permanently wiped out. It would indeed be wonderful if people weren't anxious, livelihoods were not under threat, the NHS was not overwhelmed, people weren't dying, and we could go about our normal business as we used to. Or maybe you would ask for global warming to be arrested, or for world poverty to indeed become history. Many of us, though, if we could have one wish granted, would ask for something that directly benefited ourselves. It may be we'd ask for perfect health, or the perfect marriage, or perfect children, or for perfect wealth. We human beings are naturally self-centred. We've all witnessed the panic buying in the supermarkets that has revealed that. For some of us, it is perhaps the removal of some great blot that is marring our life that we would ask for. We're suffering from depression or addiction. It may be an abusive relationship. Maybe, though, you would love to travel back in history and undo something you did, or see someone you love restored to life and health. If you could request one thing from God, and you knew for certain that that request would be granted, what would you ask for? Well, if that paralyzed man in the story we heard read from the Bible had been granted one request from God, I am pretty sure I know what it would be. Don't you? He would have asked to be able to walk and to move. The account tells us very little about the man. We don't know whether he'd had some accident or had been born that way. But either way, his life would have been a mess. There were no disability payments in those days, no NHS, no wheelchairs. If he was paralysed at an early age, he would have had no wife and no descendants, and therefore no social security. He would most probably have been unable to generate income, except perhaps from begging. But this man does have some friends, and these friends have heard about Jesus and his healing powers. although this incident took place early on in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has already caused quite a stir. We're told in the opening verse of our passage that Pharisees and teachers of the law had come from every village of Galilee to check out this new travelling preacher who had supernatural powers. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, well, they were the religious experts of Jesus' day, and were told that even a delegation from Jerusalem and Judea had come to find out more about this man. The opening verse in our passage also tells us that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal. So Luke is teeing us up to expect a miraculous healing by Jesus. Now the house that Jesus was staying and teaching in was rammed to the gunnels. There was no way in, so these guys, carrying their friend, clamber onto the roof. So there is Jesus with this crowd around him. I imagine all of them hanging onto his every word when there is some commotion on the roof. And initially, I suspect that Jesus tried to ignore the noise and keep speaking. That's what preachers normally do. They speak louder and with more kind of energy to try and keep attention. But when tiles from the roof are removed and kind of faces peer down from above, Jesus would have had to stop. So this mat is laid down right in front of Jesus, with this paralyzed man lying on it. And Jesus says, get up and walk. No, he doesn't. And that's the big surprise. Jesus doesn't immediately heal the guy. Instead, he says to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, why does Jesus do that? Because it's as clear as the nose on your face what's wrong with this man. The muscles on his leg would have wasted away to nothing. It was obvious to all that he was paralysed. What is more, there is no link made in the passage at all between this man's paralysis and his sin. There are no grounds to speculate that the man was paralysed because he'd been particularly wicked, either in this life or some previous life, as some kind of karma religions claim. Why does Jesus say to this paralyzed man, friend, your sins are forgiven, and not get up and walk? Well, there can only be one answer. Jesus thinks that the healing this man needs most in his life is to have his sins forgiven. I wonder, do you consider that to be your greatest personal need? Do you think that what you and the whole of humanity needs above else is to have your sins forgiven? When I asked if you could request one thing from God and you knew for certain that it would that request would be granted, what would you ask for? Did you think, well, what I need most and what the whole of humanity needs most is to be forgiven by God? Now, the situation in our nation is dire. And unless God decides to intervene in an extraordinary, miraculous way, things are going to worsen in the coming weeks. More people are going to die. The social cost and the economic cost of this crisis will continue to soar. But however dire the situation with the coronavirus is, our greatest need will still be forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, there can be no friendship with God. Without forgiveness, we cannot know that God is for us. Without forgiveness, there is no hope in the face of death. The Bible makes plain that naturally we human beings are not right with God. We do not honour and love God as we should. Neither do we honour and love one another as we should. And that is ultimately why we live in the broken world that we do. A world which can be brought to a standstill by a microscopic virus. A world where sin and suffering and misery and death inhabit the same space as, yes, beauty, love and life. But the wonderful good news of the Christian message is that God is for us. And he's demonstrated perfectly once and for all that he's for us by sending his eternal Son into the world so that we can know God's forgiveness. When Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven," the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were majorly put out. "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And in a sense, they were right to be concerned. Sins are an offence against God. He is the one who's been offended, so only he can forgive sins. And Jesus, knowing that they were thinking like this, poses them with a question. "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk." Now, both of those things are easy to say with your lips, but both are beyond the ability of human beings to affect, to bring about. But to show that Jesus does have the authority to forgive people their sins, he goes and does something that only God can do. In chapter 7 of the Old Testament prophecy of Daniel, we meet a mysterious figure who, coming in the clouds of heaven, is ushered into God's presence, where he is given authority, glory, and sovereign power. This figure, whom Daniel describes as one like a son of man, is worshipped by all peoples and nations, and he has a kingdom that will last forever. And what Jesus does is to take that title, Son of Man, for himself. So addressing the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then turns to the paralyzed man and says, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." And just as God's word spoke creation into being, so Jesus' words have creative power. Muscle is suddenly generated in this man's legs. Nerves are repaired. And a man who's been paralyzed gets up, picks up his mat, and heads off home praising God. Now, everyone without exception is affected by COVID-19. And for many, many people, life in the last couple of weeks has become unbearable. The problems that many of us are facing as we have to self-isolate are huge. For some, mental health has already deteriorated. People fear ruin. But if you know Jesus, if you acknowledge him as Lord and God and have put your trust in him, then whether you feel it or not, actually the biggest problem that you face in life has already been wonderfully and completely dealt with. You are reconciled to God. His spirit lives within you. And nothing, including COVID-19, can separate you from his love. Whatever trials you face in the weeks, months, years ahead, you do not face them alone. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you, and his power is present to sustain you through this and every other crisis. Even if the very worst thing happened and you contracted the virus and you had a violent reaction to it and you died, you would still be utterly safe in God's hands. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, God has prepared a brand new creation for his people where there will be no disease or sin or death to spoil it. And that is why I'm so keen at this time of crisis, that those of us who are Christian believers believe our beliefs. And despite this kind of perfectly natural inclination, don't give way to fear. Following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us instead love and look out for one another. One of the key ways we do that is to behave responsibly and follow the government's guidelines. As far as possible, we must stay at home and keep physical distance from one another. But we mustn't distance ourselves relationally. We should be reaching out to one another and to people in our community, whether it be via kind of internet, phone calls, cards, and practical offers of help. We should be doing all that we can to encourage one another, to deepen our trust in Jesus, mindful that the most vital healing every person needs is to have their sins forgiven and to be reconciled to God their Creator. And if you're listening to this broadcast and aren't yet trusting Jesus, either because you know little about him or because you've had a bad experience of church or Christianity in the past, can I encourage you to read again one of the accounts of Jesus' life? I suggest that you start with Luke's Gospel. That's where this account came from. If you haven't got your own version, you can access online a modern translation. And as you read Luke's Gospel, you'll see how Jesus attracts those who are humble and those who admit their need. And he seems to kind of repel those who are proud and self-righteous. You'll also read of how Jesus managed to achieve that forgiveness for us as he died on that Roman cross, bearing the punishment of our sin in our place. And such was that forgiveness that Jesus won, that he was able to say to a convicted criminal who was being crucified alongside him, and who turned to Jesus asking for mercy, he was able to say to that man, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's my prayer that God will use this current crisis to awaken many people from complacency and to face them with his glorious reality. Because God is for everyone. He longs for all people to know his forgiveness and friendship. That is why he sent Jesus into this world, to live and die and rise again. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious God and Father, we praise and thank you for your love for the whole of humanity and that you sent Christ into the world to deal with our deepest and most basic and fundamental problem, that of our naturally estranged relationship from you because of our sin. And thank you that through Christ we can know forgiveness and friendship with you. Please help us receive that, each one of us. And confident of our relationship with you in Jesus, help us to reach out to others with compassion and love. For we ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen.